We talked on Palm Sunday, and we talk every Palm Sunday pretty much, about all of the wrong expectations that people had about who Jesus was, who the Messiah was, and what Jesus was going to do, and how he was going to take over and put Israel back on top and bring down Rome and so on. But what about after the resurrection? What do you think the disciples who went to the who witnessed the risen Christ, what did they expect from Jesus? What did they expect him to do after the resurrection? I mean, what would you expect? I mean, I think the first thing that I might expect is bring down thunder and lightning and lava and whatever else on the people who killed him, right? I mean, that seems like a natural response. Maybe they were thinking, well, now, finally, is the time when Jesus does what we think the Messiah is supposed to do. Now he's really going to change the world. And in a sense, that's what they ask him in Acts 1, verse 6. So Jesus has been with them for a while now, and it says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Like, now? Now are you going to do it? You know, we kind of thought you were going to do it before. Obviously, we were wrong. God has something else in mind. But now? Now are you going to do it? And Jesus, always wise, kind of avoids the question. Says, it's not for you to know the time and the place. But the question is for us, in the 40 days that Jesus spends with his disciples after the resurrection, before he ascends back to his Father, what did Jesus do? This seems like it would be important, right? What did Jesus do during his resurrected life on earth? And basically what Jesus does is he hangs out for 40 days. He just hangs out with his disciples. He eats meals with them, and he opens up the scriptures to them. Not maybe what we would consider world-changing activity, but that's what Jesus does. We see this in verse 3 and 4. He said, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you had heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's eating these meals. He's teaching them the scriptures. If we just go back, well, in our Bibles, we have to skip John, but go back just another chapter in Luke's writing to Luke 24. We see Jesus with his disciples. It says, while they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Of course, they were startled and terrified and thought what they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and feet. See that it is I myself. Touch and see. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And they're still not sure what to do with him. It said, this is a great verse. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. This is such an amazing verse. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. And he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And he eats a fish. That's what Jesus does. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written. So Jesus, when he's with the disciples after his resurrection, he eats with them and he teaches them the scriptures. And I don't know that these are two separate things. Jesus, it seems, teaches the scriptures to them over meals. This is what the risen Christ does. He opens up the scriptures over meals with his disciples. And I think it's fitting that Jesus eats these meals with his disciples before and after the resurrection, and calls us to remember him through a meal, because there's really nothing more human than eating, right? We all do it. It's essential, obviously, to our physical existence. It is an intricate or an integral part of the rhythms of our day. Many of us plan our days around meals, right? We have three square meals. And I always say that I think food kind of greases the wheels of community. You know, if you want to really connect with someone, connect with them at a table over a meal. It's why so many dates. You go on a date with a boy or a girl, and you have dinner, and you talk, and you share over food. Jesus opens up the scriptures over meals. So Jesus is not just lecturing to them, it doesn't appear, which is sometimes how I feel what I'm doing up here. Jesus is talking. It's dinner conversation. The scriptures are dinner conversation. Their mission, their purpose, who Jesus is, this is dinner conversation. I think it's kind of hard to float off into the clouds theologically or philosophically while you're stuffing grain and liquid into your mouth. Kind of keeps us down to earth. And that's what the resurrection is. The resurrection is so earthy. Jesus has a body. Jesus eats fish. You know, Jesus shares meals. The resurrection seems like this great, big, crazy doctrine, but it's so down to earth how Jesus does it. Sometimes we pit the spiritual versus the physical. And for us, spiritual is like intellectual beliefs, but we only experience the spiritual through the physical, through our senses, through our brains. Our brains are physical things. And this is how we experience God. This is why we have the bread and the cup, so that we can experience the spiritual presence of God through these physical elements that we take into our bodies. And ultimately, we can only live out the spiritual in physical ways. Where James says, faith without works is dead. The spiritual, our beliefs, must be enacted in real life with our bodies. And so I would suggest that it is important for us as a community, a church community, as families, in relationships, one-on-one, to practice intentional meals. Intentional meals. It seems to be an increasingly lost institution in our society, the family meal. Sitting together at a table for dinner, sharing. Whether it's because we eat while watching TV, or go through the drive-through, or whether it's conflicting schedules, everyone eats at different times, it seems that we've lost this value of the family meal. We just eat without talking, without connecting. And I was thinking this week, maybe how we eat is a reflection on how we understand the gospel and how we actually live the gospel. Think about this. Do you eat distractedly? Kind of, you know, 5,000 things going on and you're just eating in the meantime. Do you have trouble then sometimes focusing on God's love and purposes in your life? Or do you find yourself distracted by all kinds of other things that you have to do? Do you eat quickly? This is me, okay? I'm a fast eater. And, you know, if you eat quickly, do you have trouble resting and meditating and chewing on God's word? I know I do. Do you eat without connecting with people? Well, maybe you're getting caught up in life's ruts and just doing task after task after task without really engaging the people around you. Do you eat only with comfortable and safe people? Do you only eat with the same people all the time? Well, the gospel invites in outcasts and sinners and breaks down bridges. It's funny that when Jesus is accused of being with the wrong people, they say, you know, he's friends with sinners and prostitutes and all of the tax collectors and all of these wrong people. And then they say, and he eats with them. For Jesus, it was the meal that broke down the bridges. How Jesus ate reflected the good news and the gospel. Meals are where we taste our food, of course. Meals are where we connect with one another. Meals are where we ask good questions. Meals are where we weave God's purposes and the gospel into our real physical lives. So how do you eat? And what does that say? How does that reflect your walk with Christ? Your relationship with God? Your living out of God's mission? See, the communion table and the bread and the cup up there, the communion table, I think, is really meant to shape all of the other tables where we eat and where we drink. And so how Jesus lived out his resurrection was this weaving together of word, the scriptures, and table. Of what is so God, God's word, and what is so human, eating food. And so that's why, to end our service, if you will indulge me and if you will take this kind of step of faith and take on this challenge, that's why we're going to head downstairs and maybe and be intentional with the bread and the juice that's down there. Share a conversation with people. Weave together the eating and the drinking and the connecting with God and with one another. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for bread and drink. We give you thanks for our relationships. And we give you thanks for the gospel, that we are loved by God and received by God through Christ, and that somehow all of these things weave together. I pray that you would help us to eat well, and in our eating well, that we would connect with you and we would connect with the world and the people that you love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.